Welcome to Sozo Talk Radio, the show where the host is too lazy to even pronounce so-so accurately. This is the most amazingly average to almost slightly better than mediocre broadcast that will be sure to astound you with impressive interviews and talk. Blah, 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 blah. Are they gone? Good. You can never be too careful. Illuminati spies are everywhere. But thankfully, they have notoriously low attention spans, and so it was necessary to fake them out with that utterly boring intro. Sozo is, in fact, a secret code word for soteriological bliss and existential ecstasy that can only be found in relationship with and in childlike abandonment to our loving Heavenly Papa and our Master and Commander, the Good Shepherd, and our salvation, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus, the Messiah. I am your host, Daniel Lovett. Let us embark upon a glorious adventure, exploring the depths and mysteries of Christ, one interview at a time. SozoTalkRadio.com.
Welcome to Sozo Talk Radio.
Sozo Talk Radio.
Welcome to Sozo Talk Radio. On the line, I've got Brian Orm from California. He is a speaker and an author, and it's the man of God. Really excited about the awakening and doing what the Lord has him doing to bring about the awakening, to serve his role in the awakening. Brian, how are you today?
I'm great. Thanks for having me, man. It's good to be here.
Yeah, absolutely. We're going to talk about some fun stuff, particularly hitting on the awakening. We're going to talk about that and supernatural prayer. So I was just visiting your website and saw that your podcast, The Borm Identity.
Yes.
And you speak a lot about identity, our identity in Christ. Let's talk about that. Unpack that.
Well, my nickname is Borm, so that's where that name comes from. And so I thought, hey, why not the Borm Identity?
Absolutely.
For a name. And so, yeah, identity to me is massive. If we don't know who we are in Christ, everything else is off kilter, out of alignment. And so it's not so much a self-discovery identity, it's introspection into Christ. The more I see him, the more I see myself. The more unveiling of the revelation of Christ, the more unveiling revelation of me as a son of God. You know, he's a mirror of our completeness. So when I'm seeing him, I'm seeing who I'm supposed to be. So it's 1 John 4:17, as Jesus is, so are we in this world. We're born again of the same seed that Jesus was.
Yeah.
He's the firstborn of that seed. We're born again of the same seed. And so seed reproduces after its own kind. So we should look and think just like him.
Yeah. And really that's what Sozo Talk Radio is all about, is exploring the depths and riches of Christ, who he is and our identity in him and as him, you know, that he is our life. And, you know, Christ, who is your life, you know, all these verses. You're dead. Your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, you'll also appear with him in glory. And Paul, as reflecting on his words, to die is gain, to live is Christ, and to die is gain.
Yeah.
So
he is the business.
Absolutely.
Jesus is the business.
We can never make too much of Jesus, you know?
Yeah.
It's amazing. So if people want to connect with you, I suppose they can do so over at your Facebook page, facebook.com/theascendedlife. And there'll be links in the description below for you to do that, to connect with Brian. And I love just how you have over the banner of it, the mystical collective. And I'd love to unpack that word, because that's a word that I've really been drawn to myself. And it just means a lot to me. I actually have a page called The Christian Mystic.
Awesome.
I'd love to hear what mystic means to you, and just unpack that.
Yeah, I mean, the word can become a knee-jerk reaction to some, because they attribute it to occult or Eastern religion, New Age. And the reality is, the birthplace of the word itself was orthodoxy. It's a mystic just simply meant that someone who's intimate with God and they walk in supernatural power, which, hello, that should be every believer in Christ.
Yes.
But mystic to me, if I were to kind of reframe it, it's the awareness of oneness. You know, our life is moving at the speed of our awareness of oneness. All fruitfulness comes from oneness. Everything that is produced through our life is simply because we're one with the tree, and we just bear the fruit that the tree produces. You know, a branch doesn't produce fruit. The tree does. The branch just bears the fruit that the tree is producing. And so it's not even our job to produce fruit. And so in Christ, it's if I rest in the fact that I'm a son, then things are produced even by accident. It's like the farmer, the parable that he goes to bed and he wakes up and stuff grew. It's like, well, how did it grow? Well, I was sleeping and it grew. And it's just finding that rest in him and not striving and living under the law of performance. So mysticism really to me is, it's even just putting into one word is union.
Yes, union, like John 14:20 and John 17, I mean, what Jesus was praying for. And really, I see that as a key of the next great awakening, the big reveal of like our oneness. And this has been revealed to my wife, even in a dream. We did a show on Sozo Talk Radio called Dreams and Visions with my wife, and she shared this dream about oneness being celebrated, and that being the message and not the of this next great awakening.
Yeah.
Beautiful. And I love what you said about rest. You know, I once read through the Bible in a couple months' time, and I got all stressed out by the law and all this stuff, and do I measure up? And it was just bringing up all this performance stuff, you know, in my heart. But then when I got to the Gospels, it was just amazing about this rest. The overwhelming message was Jesus has you taken care of. He has reconciled you fully to God. Rest in him. And the only time striving enters into the conversation is strive to enter the rest.
Yeah.
You know, in scripture, that's the only time it's really that God ever says strive, you know, strive to enter into the rest.
It takes work to rest.
It's beautiful though.
Yeah.
All right.
That's awesome. Well, I mean, rest to me is the first revelation Adam had of the Father was rest. You know, before there was, hey, let's get down to the nitty gritty of the mandate here. It's like, let's just walk in the cool of the day. And, you know, I just see that as all revelation flows from the understanding of rest.
Yeah. And I like how God seems to show up and do things in your life when you're not striving. It's not about performance at all. It's just like, I'm, you know, like Sean Bowles has this story, like I'm playing video games, you know, and then God shows up, he walks into the room and this reveal, I want you to go do this and deliver this message to so-and-so. He wasn't fasting and praying and doing all this, but it's just gift of grace. And like, I think the Lord likes to stress that it's not about us twisting his arm or getting anything from him, but he's just like, he's a giver and he just doesn't want his gifts to be tied to our performance. And so the best thing we can do is just rest. And I really see that kind of like what meditating is supposed to be, is just like getting alone with him and just, what's on your heart, Papa? And you have wonderful stories about that. I've heard a couple of stories where you just started asking that question, what's on your heart, Papa? Can you tell us some of those and about this natural prayer life, you know?
Yeah, a lot of times when I go to bed, kind of getting ready to transition into dreamland or sleepscape, I just start asking the Father questions. And I always encourage people to ask questions, because that's what children do, is they ask lots of questions. And so one of the questions I ask a lot is, Father, what's on your mind? Is there something on your mind? And not even particular to me. It's just like, what's on your mind right now? And there was a 2-week period, it's probably 2 or 3 years ago. Every night when I asked this, he would show me something that seemed super random. The first night, I see a piece of Mexico on the map. And I said, okay, Father, what's on your mind about that place? And he says, just pray that the cartel would be exposed. So I just pray a simple prayer. It wasn't like this long 4-hour prayer. I just like, God, just let there be light over that area. Mm-hmm. So a week later, El Chapo was caught. Yeah. It was like the largest cartel network in the world. And so night after night, I'm praying specific things, and then I'm seeing these things unfold in the news. And so it just brought this amazing reality of partnership with God, that if we would just partner with what's on his mind, what's on his heart, there could be some amazing things that could happen in our co-laboring with him. And another question I'll ask is, or I'll even a declaration really is, Father, if there's an assignment tonight that we need to go somewhere together, let's do this. I'm open.
Yeah.
Wherever we need to go.
Yeah.
I'm available tonight.
That's beautiful. You know, and I love those mystical adventures that we can have with God. You know, I once asked the Lord, I was like, how can I rejoice in the Lord always? You know, like the scriptures say. And they said, come on adventures with us. You know, and of course I'm referencing the host of heaven. You know, that's what was replying to me. Come on adventures with us. I was like, wow, okay.
Let's do this.
Music to my ears. You know, just like the biggest fun you can ever have in life is partnering with God in this way.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I started praying like that after hearing your story about that, you know, and about the bank. What was it, in Italy?
Yeah, Italian Peninsula or something like that.
Yeah.
It's like one of the oldest banks in the world, if not the oldest, if I remember.
Yeah, but the Lord didn't want this bank to fail, you said. Yeah. And you just prayed that, because it would hurt a lot of people. And he's like, I care about those people. Let's pray into that. And then it didn't fail. So,
hallelujah.
Amazing. So yeah, I started praying along these lines, like, what's on your heart, Papa? What's on your mind? And I would start to get things. Like they told me specifically, oregano heals the liver. I'm like, wow, okay. That'd be a good thing for all the alcoholics out there, you know, to know about. Yeah. For sure. You know, so I even went on a little oregano treatment for a couple weeks, you know, and it's not recommended for pregnant women, to be sure, but
indeed.
Put that in there, but yeah, I did some research, and that's exactly what it said. One of the first things I found on the internet was oregano heals the liver, and I'm like, wow,
that's awesome.
So, and other things too, but it's just amazing. I would recommend that to everybody. Please do this, you know, partner with God. You can start having adventures and fun. You won't be bored anymore. I think a lot of times, you know, people sin is because they're just bored. They're like, I just want to entertain myself. You know, but God is the most fun happening, you know, in his presence. There's fullness of joy, and his right hand, there are pleasures evermore.
And absolutely, man. it's not boring by far.
Yeah, let's talk about joy, the importance of joy. I know you have a history of being a stand-up comedian. It's kind of fun. I was watching one of your skits on your YouTube channel. People want to connect to Brian Orm, look him up on YouTube, connect with him there. But yeah, let's talk about that, the joy and just the,
Yeah, I mean, I grew up in a home where there was a lot of humor. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't like a biting humor. It just was a fun... My dad was hilarious, super dry humor. And then my mom, it was different, but it was equally as funny. And so for me, I had such a value for humor because, especially when it comes to hard truths, like when you're speaking, it's like sometimes when you're speaking on topics, like, man, this is kind of a deeper topic. But when humor comes in, it just opens up the heart to receive it. And I've just had moments where I remember probably a season of 5 or 6 years, I ridiculed anything supernatural. I kind of had it in a jaded season. And one of the things was drunken in the spirit. I would just like, that is not real. And then it hit me one day. And even while it was happening, I'm like, but this is not supposed to happen. And I'm completely inebriated in the Holy Spirit. And that one encounter was a huge marker for me of just the importance of joy as my strength, because when I came out of that encounter, I felt so strong. And I've seen people who, there's one story in particular, a girl who was studying for the MCAT when we were doing university ministry, which is a difficult test to pass. Most don't pass it. And she was stressing out. Her dad's a well-known surgeon. So there's kind of this thing that I've got to do this and do it well. And so in one of our meetings, she just falls over on the ground laughing. And that was normally not like her to do that. And so in the middle of me, so I just walk over, I'm like, you doing all right? What's going on? He says, the Lord told me to stop studying. And she just started laughing. And so she gets drunk in the Holy Spirit. She stops studying and she aces the MCAT. And what the Lord began to speak to me about that is, you know, drunkenness in the spirit is paradoxical because it seems like it's so foolish, yet it can increase your capacity to be intellectual. And it's just a yielding to the Holy Spirit. And the power of joy to me is, you know, joyful people. If you think about the drunkenness in the spirit, in the natural, drunk people talk to anybody. There's no fear of man.
Yeah.
Like if you're at a bar or whatever and somebody's drunk, they're going to talk to whoever, probably in a loud voice too. And they're not going to say, is this okay if I do this? It's just, there's such an uninhibited release of who they are, which can not be the most positive thing sometimes, but in the Holy Spirit's always a positive. And I think that's why the beginning of the church happened out of a state of drunkenness.
Lovely. So,
what a church growth strategy. Let's all get inebriated in the Spirit. And then Peter gets up, who, I mean, the dude's a fisherman, probably not the greatest speaker. You know, he stands up and delivers an amazing message, and thousands come to Christ.
Yeah. I've heard you mention too about laughter being medicine, and you know, like, of course, the Proverbs say that, right?
Absolutely.
Merry heart doeth good like a medicine. So it can replace our pharmaceuticals, you know, it can be healing of our DNA.
Absolutely.
of our health, bringing life to our cells. And
it reveals, to me, joy reveals the grip of religion. Mm. Like, I see this in meetings where if people are crying, a lot of people are okay with that. But people start laughing, you can feel it in the room. People start getting really offended. Hmm. And it just reveals religion, who has no toleration for joy. Like, religion, serious business. It demands your serious attention. And it just has no space for true joy.
Hmm. Yeah, I've heard some people talk about, you know, like, instead of spiritual warfare, how about spiritual joyfare?
Yeah, come on.
You know, and I want them to, for our listeners, ask the Lord to tell you a joke. I did that one time, and I've never laughed so hard about what ensued within like a couple hours.
That's funny.
It was great. So, yeah, we need to cultivate joy. It's the fruit of the Holy Spirit. If you don't have joy, you're doing it wrong.
Indeed. Yeah. I have friends, you may know them, the George and Winnie Banoff.
Yeah.
Somebody was in a meeting who's struggling with stage 4 cancer, and it was Winnie was with the woman, and God said, just laugh at this thing. So she just led everyone, we're just going to laugh at cancer. So everyone just hysterically laughing. This woman was healed. 100% healed.
That's great. It's great when we can have the courage and boldness to do as the Lord directs. Yeah. Like, hey, let's just laugh at this. Hey, everybody. Thanks so much for joining us on this first part of an interview with Brian Orme. Lots more exciting stuff to come. I just encourage you to put into practice what we talked about here about the supernatural prayer, you know, just asking the Father, what's on your mind, and just listening and see where that takes you. It's exciting stuff, isn't it? And just to know that there's so much more joy to be had with the Lord than we've barely scratched the surface on this thing. I mean, even just last night, I was in prayer and meditation, and the Lord was just imparting this joy to me. And it's just like this, you know, this bursting, like supernova in your heart of joy. It's just amazing. So I pray that for each and every one of us. I mean, I'm still pressing in. The Bible says, Jesus says, ask and keep on asking and you will receive. Seek and keep on seeking, you will find. Knock and keep on knocking and the door will be opened. So there's so much more amazing adventures and just a profound, intimate relationship to be had with the Lord. And we just need to go after it. The Lord rewards those who diligently seek Him. So I'm doing this. I'm inviting you along in the journey. Please subscribe to this YouTube channel. Hit the notification bell so you don't miss future episodes of this interview and lots more just exciting, great content I'm bringing your way through Sozo Talk Radio. You can download this talk at patreon.com/reflectworship. All right. The whole thing, whole hour-long interviews, they're available at our Patreon page. Thanks so much for your support and for sharing these videos, for getting the word out. We rely on you. I'm done giving Google my money to just blast it to people who don't care. So share it with your friends. I depend on that for this channel to grow. So thank you very much for that.